Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's open our Bibles once again to the book of Daniel. Please turn to chapter 7. As we've been considering recently this prophetic book of Daniel, you may recall how there's a twofold study that we are considering. One being that on one hand we have great prophetic passages paralleling with the book of Revelation and other very helpful passages, both old and new. And yet we find on the other side of the ledger God's provision in the life of this man Daniel and his friends as they are in captivity, beginning of the book, in Babylon. And so we find the Lord dealing in his life on an individual, personal basis, but yet giving great spiritual truths and prophetic truths that span on into the future. We see that in this book, there are various kings that are mentioned, as we see that Daniel had a very broad or lasting ministry for several decades. We see him being brought in during the Babylonian captivity, and that itself is a 70-year captivity. And we see that he was also contemporary with Jeremiah and others. We find that particularly chapters 2 and 7 are great prophetic passages, along with some other portions, chapter 8 and 12 and such. But particularly chapters 2 and 7, we see an emphasis. We find that in between these, you may say, bookends are those leading stories that we've just considered recently. As we see the fiery furnace and Nebuchadnezzar there crawling around as a beast in the field. And as we see the handwriting on the wall. And as we see the den of lions. And in each of these stories, we're reminded of how the Lord is in control and how that God deals with the pride of men. And now that we come to the other side, to chapter 7 and 8, these prophetic passages help us understand more upon what we learned in chapter 2. If you remember in chapter 2, there was that vision of Nebuchadnezzar. And then Daniel was the one, by the help of the Lord, to interpret that dream. It was that statue that had the head of gold. And then we see the breast of silver and the thighs as it were of brass and down to the legs and feet of iron mixed with clay. And so we find the four world powers. As it was prophesied, these four world powers would, as we see the term in the New Testament, would reveal the times of the Gentiles. Earlier we had been seeing in the Word of God of how the various kings of the north and the south concerning Israel and Judah, and yet now we see an emphasis upon the times of the Gentiles. And so that particular vision was by an ungodly man, a man who the Lord dealt with, nonetheless, though, through these stories. But we see at the beginning, here's this man of pride, Nebuchadnezzar. So it could be suggested that in the dream of chapter 2, it was from man's perspective. This one, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And yet we see this man of pride, the very next chapter, he comes along and erects a statue to be worshipped. But when we come to chapter 7 and 8 today, we see that this is from a godly man. The Lord uses Daniel in a dream of his, these two chapters, these dreams and visions. And so perhaps we could suggest this is from God's perspective. The Lord is looking at, instead of a statue, we see beast in chapter 7. And from God's perspective, he sees man and the rebellion of man, in a sense, as beast, as those that reject and rebel against authority. And so we see a contrast, yet we see similarities. In both of these chapters, we see things that point out the four world powers of the times of the Gentiles. Probably won't have time to get into it this morning, but in chapter 8, there are some distinctions between chapters 7 and 8, but yet we see some overlapping issues there. As we're here in chapter 7, we see at the beginning, verse 1, verses 1 to 8, the vision of four great beasts. Then we see the Ancient of Days, particularly in verses 9 to 14. We find interpretation in verses 15 to 18. And then there's an inquiry here of the fourth beast in particular from verses 19 to 22. And there's further interpretation in 23 to 27 with a summary in the last verse. Now note, as far as the timing of this chapter, as verse 1 tells us, it's in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Sometimes in the Old Testament and in the Word of God, you can walk through in chronology and you see a consistent time order. And yet, in certain portions, you have to be careful of the context. Sometimes it's a parenthetical or a stepping away from a time frame and moving away for a topical subject, a discussion. And I say that because as you walk through Daniel in these first six chapters, you've come up through the times of the Babylonian Empire there with Nebuchadnezzar and then his grandson Belshazzar in chapter 5. But then in chapter 6, we find that with the Den of Lions, it's Darius. It's the Medes and the Persians. That second world power that is spoken of here is the ruling power. So when we come to chapter 7 and 8 and you see Belshazzar again, we have to keep in mind that this would have been before chapter 5, time-wise. Because Belshazzar died at the end of chapter 5. He was the one with the handwriting on the wall. And he was told, your power, your kingdom will end. And that night, he was slain. But the Lord used Daniel, the one who had been raised up. And Darius the Mede in chapter 6 also raised up Daniel. So his ministry continued on. So in a time before Belshazzar, his death, in chapter 5, we're going to read of these visions in chapters 7 and 8. So let's begin in chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, notice for a moment the mention of from this great sea. A reminder in Scripture at times that the sea and once coming out of the sea can be a reminder of the nations, the Gentiles, as it were. We see things such as in chapter 13 of Revelation, speaking of those coming out of the great sea. And it's interesting to see that we see the multitude of the nations and the Gentiles. And I bring that up because as we're about to read here, we're going to read of these four world powers in the midst of the times of the Gentiles. Verse 3, and the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it was raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, we'll stop for a moment. As you could parallel again in chapter 2, that vision of Nebuchadnezzar, and there was the statue from the head of gold on down. And yet, if you compare to chapter 8, in chapter 8, the mention of only the second and third kingdoms are discussed. There we see a ram and a he-goat describing this second and third kingdoms. It's interesting, in chapter 8, if you would just for a moment peek over in 8 in verse 20, as we've just read about the second and third kingdoms being seen from, illustrated as a bear and a leopard. But in 8 and 20, it says, the ram, which thou sawest having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. So we see that consistent with chapter 2 and chapter 7. That second power that took over for the Babylonians was the Medes and the Persians. So we think of Darius and Cyrus, those kings. Then verse 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. That's interesting to carry on about that. But just for comparison's sake, we see that second and third world powers. So let's go back to our text now. And we're back in chapter 7. And so as you walk through the outline of this chapter and compare it to chapter 2 and somewhat to chapter 8, there are three addresses at this topic. We see the vision itself at the beginning of the chapter. We see interpretation in the middle of the text. And then later on, further interpretation at the end. So if we compare these things, you see some similarity in the three deliveries, you might say, of chapter 7. Helps us understand a little bit as we compare Scripture with Scripture through the passage. And so we pick up now in chapter 7, verse 7, and we're going to pick up this fourth beast, the fourth of this of the four world powers of the times of the Gentiles. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And so we find here this term diverse different times through the text. Speaking earlier about how these four beasts were diverse one from another, but the emphasis upon the fourth is it was diverse from all the beasts. As you see, there's the interest level will peak with this fourth one. Daniel will inquire. He'll want to know more about this fourth one. This one that is, well, it's hard to describe this fourth one, as it were. We have a lion, a bear, and a leopard before, but this fourth one is so unique and strange in a sense. And it speaks of the 10 horns. As we think of in the latter times of this world power and the various branches of it. Yet in verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Oh, how true. As we see this little horn, as you compare Scripture to Scripture, seems to be pointing to that one, that man of sin, that Antichrist, the one that will speak great things, the one who would want to be, as it were, exalted as if God, speaking great things. But now, as we're in such a solemn passage, I find it so refreshing to find this section before us now as it speaks of deity. It speaks of the Lord. It's not that, oh, this is what will happen. Here comes this man of sin. Here comes this little horn. Here comes these during the times of the Gentiles. But that's not the end of the story. We have the Lord of glory. We have the one that will ultimately rule forever and ever. The one in whom we that know him, we will have opportunity to rule and reign with him. And so we see now in verse 9, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head were like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Oh, before us now, this Ancient of Days. Did that passage, that verse, remind you of another portion? Perhaps you think of Revelation, chapter 1. Let's just turn there for a moment as we see this introduction to this tremendous book of Revelation. And we see things concerning our Savior. Chapter 1 introduces this wonderful theme. Chapter 2 and 3 speaks of things concerning the age that we live, the church age. Beginning in chapter 4, we see future things. But in Revelation 1, let's notice there in verse 12. Revelation 1:12. Perhaps it reminds us of what we read in Daniel just a moment ago. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto a fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death, of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, etc. We find this one being described in Revelation 1. We find deity. Now, as we go back to our text, we pick up further in Daniel 7. The one that's been described, we see further in verse 10, those round about him. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. What a scene. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. You know, when we think of the books, that term is used in different ways, contexts. We think in Revelation 5, there's a mention of this sealed book and how there was the one who was worthy to open the sealed book. And then we think of how it mentions the Lamb's Book of Life in chapter 13 and chapter 21. But yet in Revelation 20, it speaks of the books were open and the proving of the guiltiness of man standing before God as those that rejected him. And so we find here this one in whom thousands and thousands minister unto him, the Ancient of Days. Then we notice a solemn point in the midst of this section about the Ancient of Days in verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. May I just remind you again in Revelation there at the end, in chapter 19, I'll read to you, and it says in verse 20, And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Moreover, in 20, in verse 10, And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. As we see these things, may I stop for a moment and just ask, perhaps we all know the Lord, but if there's one among us that does not know Christ as Savior, what a solemn thing to stand before God, having been one to reject him, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Here we see a reminder of that solemn day of those that will be cast into the lake of fire. We've seen those that are of Satan and Antichrist, but it also speaks of the Christ rejectors, those that have been died for, precious innocent blood shed for us. Well, we go back to our text in Daniel 7, and we notice, you may have noticed this in your reading, that when we speak of the Ancient of Days, that it's definitely describing deity. But some of the reading, as you look at comparing verse 9 with verse 13 and verse 22, sometimes it might be a little bit difficult getting a grip on trying to determine whether it's speaking of the Father or the Son. But nonetheless, we understand the clarity is this is deity. That's the bottom line. But as some have suggested, notice verse, we'll read verse 12 first. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. So we think of, as in other portions, this one, a Son of Man. As we think of the Messiah, the one that would come with clouds. Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. Revelation 1, it speaks of how every eye shall see him, that one that would come. We think of him coming in power and great glory, coming in the clouds, as it were, putting his feet upon the ground. But yet, that's distinct from what we read in Thessalonians 4 and the mystery spoken of in Corinthians 15, when it speaks of the rapture, when we see the snatching away of the saints into the clouds to ever be with him. That's different from when he comes to the ground himself and establishes his authority, puts to naught these things that we're reading about, the Antichrist in that terrible time of tribulation. So we see a distinction there. But nonetheless, here in verse 13, it speaks of this Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, but it says came to the Ancient of Days. And so that's why I just suggested something to ponder on. Nonetheless, we realize these terms are speaking of deity, and they brought him near before him. Now, one way of considering this, in discussion with a brother and friend of mine, he made this note to me. He said, here we see the protocol of heaven's judicial actions to rule. Verse 22, we see the Son is the Ancient of Days. Is he and the Father obviously are one. And we see him putting down the little horn, Antichrist, and such and so on, as you read further, like in Revelation 19. So we see that dominion spoken of in verse 14. Let's go to the next verse. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Praise the Lord that there is this eternal kingdom, this kingdom that we that know him will be able to stand before him, bow before him, and yet rule and reign with him. The dominion. And so, as we think of this Ancient of Days and such, we notice now Daniel, as he takes perhaps a deep breath and ponders these things. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. He was grieved. Notice there at the end in verse 28, in the summary. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. In a similar matter, we'll see in chapter 8, with that other vision, we'll see that he became sick and faint. You know, we see these solemn truths, these heavy, weighty matters, these things that concern God's program and deals with mankind. Not just the Antichrist and these things, these world powers in a general sense, but it deals with mankind. It affects people. And this is weighty matters. You know, you may have been there before. Maybe you've had the Word of God on your heart. Maybe you saw an opportunity to witness to people. You knew you were going to be in a situation before unsaved people. Maybe you were going to be able to share something at a funeral or a situation or what have you. And this the severity of the truth of the Word of God, the gospel, was on your heart. And you felt that burden for people, maybe. Or maybe in a sense when we think of the weighty matters of the Scripture just in your life personally. Maybe before you were saved, when the Lord was dealing with you, convicting you of sin, and there was that weighty sense of conviction as the Lord dealt with you concerning your sin and the Savior. You know, the Word of God brings to us joy and peace and grace and mercy, a lot of wonderful things. There are times there's a sense of the weightiness of the Scripture, the things that are of such eternal values, the seriousness of these things. And so Daniel, with these dreams, felt the weight of these things. So we find now in verse 17, as further interpretation is given to him, these great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Yes, here we see the times of the Gentiles. Here we have the four kings. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Reiterating the truth that these kingdoms have their limitation. There is an ultimate kingdom to come. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. And so, just like in the book of Revelation, you see that solemn passage from chapter 6 all the way to chapter 19. And the things involved after that, we see wonderful truths concerning eternity. We see in verse 19, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." This fourth beast, there is so much of detail that's needed to know here. He speaks of how, verse 19, "which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of 10 horns there were in his head, and of the other which came, and before whom 3 fell. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." So we could notice, again, these things are repeated different times in the passage. Verse 8 and 20 and 24 speak of these 3 that would fall and such. This one speaking of great words. But in verse 21, "I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." We back up a little bit before the eternal state and of course the millennial reign and such that would follow after this time of tribulation. Over in Revelation 13, as we've just read of how there'll be this one that would make war with the saints and prevail against them, Revelation 13 says this. Now, of course, when you're in chapters 12 and 13 of Revelation, it's speaking details about the 7 personages, these main characters, in the context of what Revelation's teaching. And in Revelation 13, let's notice verse 5 to 7. Speaking of this beast and such. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them," and such and so on. He had this power and such. But yet, we know the end of the story. Let's go back to Daniel 7. We try to tie up the end of the chapter here. Verse 22, once again we see the Ancient of Days. "Unto the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom." So again, reiterating these things we've read earlier. And so in verse 23, we find this last bit of interpretation. I'll read through this. Notice here how it reminds us of things already stated, giving us a little bit more understanding. "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." So we'll stop there for a moment. It's interesting that particular statement here of wearing out the saints. We see things in Revelation 17 there with Mystery Babylon can be a reminder of that. But also there in verse 25, one that would think to change times and laws. We think of in the Olivet Discourse there in Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians, a reminder of that attitude of this one, this Antichrist. But for time's sake, just go a couple pages up to Daniel 11. And we see this attitude. In Daniel 11, we'll note in just a couple of verses, verse 36. 11:36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that there that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. And such and so on. Isn't this something? What a contrast. Back in Daniel 2, it was stated that the one who should have the authority to say and determine these things is the God of heaven. For in 2:20, as we find when Daniel was praying and asking the Lord to have mercy and to help him be able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream, for Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know, tell me what the dream was and the interpretation. And he prayed to God, he and his friends, that they might understand. And if you remember back in chapter 2, Daniel would say this concerning the Lord. He said, he, several times speaking of the Lord. In 2:21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. He goes on, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. You know, there's that one coming, that one who is this counterfeit, this antichrist, this one who will desire worship, and the ones who would desire to set things about as if he's God. But the ultimate ruler is the one we've just read about, the one Daniel could praise, the one that helped him understand these visions and these interpretations that could be revealed to us as well. And so as we come to the end of Daniel 7, we read verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. You know, as you read through this, it seems somewhat repetitive, but when you're talking about such a weighty matter, as difficult passages we have here, I'm thankful how the Spirit of God laid this out. It helped me to see the dream, and then to see the interpretation. And then Daniel said, I need to know more, and he goes back and says it again. It helped me to see a lot of things said about three times in this passage. And yet the same conclusion. The Lord of glory will be the one to ultimately rule, and we shall rule with him. Verse 28, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He pondered these things, considered these things. May we go away this morning considering these things. On one hand, we can say this book reminds us, it points out these things that have partly happened and many things that are yet to happen. And yet we can also be reminded of how the Lord preserved Daniel in the midst of all his difficulties, and how the Lord used him to be a tremendous testimony in light of those people that were around him and those that had human authority over him. May we be a light in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and perhaps one of the brothers could close us in prayer.